I am doing A-okay.
Good.
Yeah, and you?
I'm doing all right, yes.
Cool. Boating yesterday?
No.
Took a day off?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
I needed a day to relax.
Gotcha.
All that time out on the water, I had to take a day away from it to relax.
Tuesday was a little rough, huh?
Yeah.
And not just the seas.
No, Tuesday was great. Tuesday was a beautiful day.
I know, it was great, but yeah. The recovery.
Yeah, I was out there for a long time.
Right.
I was out there for had a little boat fatigue, if you will.
I got you, yeah. I've been there, done that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It happens.
Yeah, of course it does, to the best of us.
So another day with the same topic with some new wrinkles to it.
Do you believe?
The Ravens and Colin Kaepernick, that story is still out there, still festering, still something that does not have a resolution. And at this point, the Baltimore Ravens, whomever is making the ultimate decision there, and I have a pretty good idea of who that is letting this drag on and is hurting all parties involved at this point. So first we hear an ESPN report that Ozzie Newsome and John Harbaugh are more than ready to bring Colin Kaepernick in, but it is the owner, Steve Bisciotti, who is reluctant. He is not quite on board with it. He's the one that's dragging this out. So then Ozzie Newsome puts out a statement saying that that's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't really directly contradict what the report was. He said other things in this statement. He said, quote, "We are going through a process and we have not made a decision. Steve Bisciotti has not told us we cannot sign Colin Kaepernick, nor has he blocked the move. Whoever is making those claims is wrong," said Ozzie Newsome. But the report really said that Bisciotti wasn't blocking it, but he was the one that was reluctant to it.
Right.
And he hadn't made a decision, and he wasn't on board quite yet, whereas the Newsome rebuttal to that was that Bisciotti said he hadn't blocked it. So I guess where we are now is that there's still a chance he could be signed, but if Newsome and Harbaugh are on board, and Newsome didn't deny that part of the report, and Bisciotti's the only guy left who's making the calls, and he's the owner, then we know exactly what's going on here.
Duh!
It's Bisciotti doesn't know yet what he wants to do, and chances are he's leaning towards a no if he hasn't done it already.
Right. I'm with you. Read between the lines here, please. Or what's left unsaid is the real story here. So the guy hasn't blocked it. He hasn't had an outright denying you the ability to go out and sign someone, but he hasn't endorsed it either. And it's obvious that you need that endorsement or you would have already moved on this player. You got two out of the three parties involved here, the GM, the head coach, and the owner. Two of the three are saying yay. One is saying nay. And the one that's saying nay obviously holds all the clout in this situation, or else Colin Kaepernick would be a Baltimore Raven. And that hasn't occurred, and we'll see if it will. But these both the head coach and Ozzie Newsome, and as great a GM Ozzie Newsome has been, he's been excellent in that whole front office at identifying talent. They are at an impasse here with their owner, and the owner holds he wields a lot of power, of course, and so in this situation they are really trying to get him on board, it seems like, and I guess they're still working him over night and day. Say, come on, we're trying to make assurances to you. We've got assurances from Kaepernick. He's not going to be a distraction, yada yada yada. Or else, if that was the case, Kaepernick would already be a Raven.
Isn't this one of those issues though, where you either know or you don't what you want to do?
Yeah.
I mean, how much time do you have to think about this before you come up with a decision?
Well,
because the facts are pretty clear as to what's going on within the organization when it comes to football. Is you've got a quarterback at Joe Flacco that, will be back eventually and healthy and will be the starter. But you've got a guy in Ryan Mallett who has not been good throughout his NFL career and reportedly is awful in practice, throwing interception after interception. He's got a history of being a knucklehead.
Wait, five interceptions in one practice?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Which,
I'm just saying.
Which might happen to other quarterbacks, but you won't hear about it because there's...
I played with some bad quarterbacks.
And you never
NFL.
Had five picks? In
never
a
five picks.
Okay, well, never mind. I was going to give the benefit of the doubt. Well, he stinks. We know he stinks.
Never five picks. Never.
When we understand that the guy stinks. You have someone who's better and available, and you are either going to sign him or not. And if this issue didn't happen last year, he'd be on the team. So you either think that the issue was too big to bring him in or not. I mean, does he have to have this much time, Steve Bisciotti, to mull this thing over to know what you're going
to
do?
Who else are you querying out there? Who else you need to talk to? We've talked about focus group. He's talked about sponsors. Who else do you need to talk to?
And if you've got your head coach and your general manager who have had a lot of success there in Baltimore, both of those guys. I mean, Ozzie Newsome is heralded as one of the better general managers in football. You've got those guys saying, we'd like to have him here. Isn't it your job as the owner to let them do that?
Yeah. And Steve Bisciotti said that I'm not so sure he can help us win. Really? Why are you not so sure he can help you win? He played on a horrible team last year and posted 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, but yet you're not so sure he can help you win. But your backups, you're sure they can help you win? And they have nothing as far as their resume compared to Colin Kaepernick. Your starting quarterback, he put on a hell of an exhibition that playoff season on the run to a Super Bowl victory. When you took on Kaepernick and the 49ers in the Super Bowl and won by the skin of your teeth, because Kaepernick did help his team win and get to the Super Bowl. And so now you're not so sure he can help you win. Why aren't you? You've got a offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, quarterback's coach, who has worked with him. He knows the man. He knows this quarterback. So why are you not sure he can help you win when you have someone that has a rapport with him, has been in that locker room, has been in the trenches with him? What's holding you back? We know what's holding you back, your pocketbook, and whether or not there's going to be a backlash. Well, deal with it and move on. Don't give me this, I don't know if he can help us win. He can help you win.
Well, there's going to be a backlash either way
right.
at this point, because there's enough people on both sides that see it from either way. You're going to have the people that are going to be livid that Colin Kaepernick got a job because they were so offended by his actions last year and kneeling during the anthem and sitting during the anthem, and you're not going to be able to change those folks' minds. And there's going to be guys like me and you that are going to be annoyed and talk about how the Ravens are blocking this guy from a job because of something that he did last year that should not put him in a position to not have a job in the NFL. So either way, he's going to receive some backlash. So what are you really scared of? Is the same thing I asked yesterday. What is the worst possible thing that can happen? That cameras show up, more people show up to training camp to ask your players questions than would have if he wasn't there? Is that going to derail your season because your guys, after a training camp practice, have to answer a couple of questions and maybe there's going to be a headline or two that have to do with your organization? Is that really the worst? Do you really think people are going to not show up to the games? Do you think the TV revenue is going to be negatively affected by Colin Kaepernick being? What are you really afraid of? Show me the tangible things that you think will happen if Colin Kaepernick is on that team that's preventing you from signing him. Because I can tell you what will happen if you do sign him. What's going to happen if you sign him is you make your football team better because he's better than Ryan Mallett.
Right, and those who don't like the decision, they're going to tune in because they want to see the man fail. Those who love the decision, they're going to tune in because they want to see him succeed. So stop all the dithering and make a decision. Either you're on board with this or you're not, but make a decision. I think what Bisciotti's holding out, hoping that some other team will come in and pluck him and take this off of his plate. I believe that's what he's hoping for, and there are reports that there was another team that was very interested in Colin Kaepernick, but the owner stepped in and nixed that deal. And so I'm not surprised that that's happening. But Bisciotti, to get this far down the road, and still have not made a decision, that makes no sense. Just go ahead and let us know what it's going to be. You want him or you don't want him.
Oh, this is definitely an owners-driven thing from across the league, because I do think that coaches and general managers don't think about that other stuff nearly as much as the owner will, because they need to put together the best possible team to save their own ass. Whereas the owners, sometimes they make as much money if they win as if they lose. So it doesn't really matter as much to them. They're thinking, how is this going to negatively affect my bottom line? On a fan forum on Sunday, Steve Bisciotti said, we're sensitive to it, we're monitoring it, and we're trying to figure out what's the right tact. So pray for us, is what he said, Steve Bisciotti.
Really? That serious of a situation?
I mean, that gives you a little bit of an insight into how much hemming and hawing he is doing over this. And a real leader, if he was, and someone who felt strong in his convictions, wouldn't be dragging this out. He would believe in his decision, and maybe he did think about it a little bit and didn't know at one point what he wanted to do. Not everybody is as quick to make big decisions like that, but he would step up, he'd be confident in his decision, and he would go out and he'd say it, and he'd take the heat. A real leader, and not someone who is just, well, give it another day. I'm just picturing Steve Bisciotti like in his bedroom with the blinds drawn, like under the covers.
Yeah.
You know, the maid knocking on the door. Mr. Bisciotti, have you made a decision? I've got your tea and crumpets. Have you made a decision yet? No, leave me alone. No, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Leave the crumpets outside the door.
How about you say pray for those who are subjected to the social injustice that Colin Kaepernick is standing up for?
Instead of the Baltimore Ravens organization can't decide who their backup quarterback's going to be.
Yeah.
Jeez. Jeez, oh man.
Make a decision already. Damn it.
I know.
And move on.
Richard Sherman weighed in on this, and he, of course, is going to have a strong opinion on many things. And he said that it's not about black or white. It's not about the color of it, but rather it's about, boy, stay in your place. And what he means by that, and it's kind of confusing in a sense because he says it's not about race, but then uses the term boy, which has been associated with racial slurs and derogatory comments. But what he is saying with this, in my opinion, is that the owners have, in a way, either deliberately or not deliberately, are sharing a brain on this where they're going, you don't act like that. And we're going to show you that you cannot act like that, or there's going to be consequences. So, you know, don't mess with us. You know, you are the employee. We are the employer. And if you step out of bounds, we're going to make you pay for it.
Right. And we've heard this before. We've seen this movie before. All you guys do is search our history, and you've seen comments like this, stay in your place, and those who don't believe in your stance, they use the same type of verbiage and same talking points, whether it's, oh, you Yankees coming down here stirring up trouble. We had trouble before we arrived. We're here trying to straighten things out. And you hear that rhetoric today on the political scene. And so what Richard Sherman is basically saying is that you just come here and be happy you have a job, as if that job was handed to you. This is a handout. This is a privilege, a word that I can't stand it when it's assigned to athletics. So that's what he's saying, and seen it before, and we'll continue to see it. And the fact that, as we've said many times on the show, an inanimate object curries more favor with folks than a human life that's of a different color. It's just amazing sitting here in 2017. So Richard Sherman is right on point. He contradicts himself a little bit with saying this is not about race. It is about race. That's exactly what it's about. And what Colin Kaepernick was standing up to was the injustices that are applied to a certain race. And what is happening now is a backlash because people don't like when you talk about that and discuss that subject matter because they have nothing to offer, nothing to help and assist with righting a wrong. And so do you want to keep Colin Kaepernick out of sight and out of mind? That way you don't have to discuss this matter. You don't have to approach it. The topic is off the table if he's not playing.
I'm really tired of people just caring about PR in the NFL, and it's just, it's constant. You know, whether it's Jason Garrett, who skirts the issue of Lucky Whitehead and is just the company mouthpiece during the press conference, and he doesn't have enough guts to step up and say anything. Whether it's Roger Goodell, who has hid behind so many issues all the time and never really steps up and is concerned for what's good and the shield. He always hides behind that. But, you know, really, it's just about the PR and how people perceive his league. And the only reason he's doing certain things this year, like allowing celebrations and tweeting out videos, Snapchat videos of him and Antonio Brown, is to change the PR, not because he admits that he's wrong. He just wants people to feel a certain way about him. And now you have another situation that is driven purely by how people feel about what you're doing. Now, I know it's a business, and I know that all businesses need to make decisions that are going to make them money because you don't want to take a step backwards. But if you really, really think that Colin Kaepernick on the Ravens is going to make Steve Bisciotti lose money, you're nuts. The guy, as you mentioned yesterday, his jersey is still flying off the shelves. He's got a more popular selling jersey than 98% or 99% of the rest of the NFL. Mm-hmm. And you're telling me that you're going to lose money if Colin Kaepernick's on the team.
Well, there was something else that Sherman said that stood out to me, and the fact that other players who believe in the stance. And who did we talk to yesterday about that? It was a couple of days you were still out. It was Cofield, I believe, Barry Cofield, the former New York Giant and Washington Redskins player. And he said there were many behind the scenes that believe in the stance, but for fear of losing their gig, even though there were others who stood up and kneeled along with Kaepernick from other teams a season ago. A linebacker comes to mind there, the Broncos, or a couple players on the 49ers team as well. That Broncos player, I believe he lost the sponsorship there in Denver. Well, that's small potatoes compared to what you're standing up to and speaking out against. So if other players were come to the forefront, and especially those players who are secure in their spot on the roster, and say, yeah, I'm backing Kaepernick. And Chris Long is one of those guys that has done that. He's come out and supported Kaepernick and said he's not a problem and his afro is not going to be a problem, Michael Vick, and all that stuff. So if others were on board and got out there in front of this thing, I think it would go a long way with helping teams move and decide whether or not they want to bring in Colin Kaepernick.
I know we've mentioned this before, but I think it needs to be reiterated. Last year, the San Francisco 49ers players voted him the best teammate on the team. They gave him an award.
Yep.
They voted on this, all of them, and he won the award. So there's another myth that is dispelled with bringing Colin Kaepernick into the locker room. So if you think you're going to lose money, I can give you details on why I think that is a false premise. If you think he's going to ruin the locker room, I could give you some facts about how I don't think that is going to happen. And if your team in 2017 can't deal with extra media attention, then you got no shot to begin with. So what are you afraid of?
Yeah.
855-212-4CBS. If you're Steve Bisciotti, do you bring in Colin Kaepernick or not? 855-212-4227. We'll get your calls. A bogus update. Just getting started. We got Will Brinson from CBS to talk some NFL. And Jeff Van Gundy is going to join us today in about 2 hours from now. So we're fired up. We're just getting started.
Talk to Gio and Jones now. 855-212-4CBS.
If you are Steve Bisciotti, do you change your mind or do you decide to sign Colin Kaepernick or not? 855-212-4CBS. We got double duty bogus today, so we got to get to him because he's got a busy day.
Oh, man.
Needs me.
Bogus here and Borgish over there, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. Andrew Borgish on WCBS 880 this morning. He's doing sports. Had a tough time with his sponsor, Reed, at 515.
Yes. Oh!
Yeah.
Yeah, my apologies to Discover Card and their awesome new service, free for card members, where they will alert you if your social security number, social security number,
still having problems,
ends up on any of 1,000 risky websites.
Yes.
Social security number.
Yeah, it got so bad there for Bogus, the tongue-tying, that he started laughing through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he had to
giggle. Did a Tony Page?
Had to giggle at himself.
Andrew Borgus.
Yeah, well, there's a Borgus.
I was then.
Yeah. See, if that was me, I'd be thinking about those news anchors going, woof, like sitting back in the, like ready for when you're done, like locking out, just going, woof, man, is this Borgish? Wow.
Well, were you here for this? My debut on 880 was in a last second fill in. So I was scrambling to write the script, couldn't record it down here, had to run up the stairs, didn't know where I was running to.
Oh, geez.
To 880. Sat down, they went immediately to me.
Oh, my God.
And couldn't play my sound that I needed to catch my breath. So it was 70 seconds of me basically on the verge of passing out from, like, oxygen deprivation. That's how I started at 880.
Radio nightmare.
Huffing and puffing, huh?
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's see if you fare better with this update. What do you got for us?
Well, I've got this. When you were out last week, Greg, we introduced Brian to the website pewterreport.com.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for him, does not involve any hot women. They simply cover the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and John Gruden had told them he is always preparing to coach again. But then the former Bucs head coach said yesterday he doesn't foresee himself coaching again anytime soon. He was at Bucs headquarters because he's being added to the team's Ring of Honor. Texans wideout Will Fuller reportedly out indefinitely after breaking his collarbone in practice yesterday. And Chargers rookie guard Forrest Lamp has torn his ACL. Lamp was their second-round pick. First-rounder wideout Mike Williams is in doubt for the coming season with a back injury. Now, not sure what was happening on the Cardinal radio broadcast in the sixth inning last night in Milwaukee, but it involved music and missing Yadier Molina's second homer of the night.
Yadier Molina hits a deep fly ball to left field that leaves the park as Suter threw one to Yadier's liking, and Molina has a two-home run game.
John Rooney from the club on Cardinals radio. St. Louis held on for a 5-4 decision over the Brewers. They gained a game on the Cubs in the Central, now 4.5 back. The Diamondbacks, a 3-0 win at Wrigley last night. The Braves beat the Dodgers 5-3. LA had won 9 straight overall and an MLB record. Discover card, social security number, and an MLB record 53 straight when leading at any point in a game. The Yankees and Tigers were supposed to start at 1 Eastern yesterday afternoon, but didn't because of rain. Then they sat for over 3 hours in the 7th, finally finishing after 8, 2-0 Detroit. The Red Sox and Indians never played in Boston because of rain, so the Yankees fall out a full game behind the Sox in the East. Baltimore shut out KC 6-0, and the Rangers snapped their losing streak.
The 2-2 to Gallo, swung on and a high drive into deep center field. Going back is Dyson, he turns, he looks, and that ball is history. Another monster shot for Joey above Greens Hill.
That's Eric Nadell on Rangers Radio. 460 feet of homer for Joey Gallo as Texas snapped the four-game skid 5-1 over the Mariners. Our buddy telling NBA.com that New York is now his home despite tough times so far as a Nick. Porzingis is in Johannesburg to take part in the NBA's Africa game. And the Buffalo Sabres working on an extension for forward Jack Eichel. It could be similar to the 8-year, $100 million extension Connor McDavid just got in Edmonton. Boys?
All right, Borges, thanks, man. We will talk to you in a little bit. If you'd like to hear more of Andrew Bogus, you
Andrew
can
Borges.
Tune in to
Can't wait.
880. Stream WCBS 880 on radio.com in about 15 minutes from now, and you will hear him. Big B in Pennsylvania on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Big B.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good, Great. Big B. What do you got?
After you guys gave my second favorite linebacker of all time a hard time yesterday, I felt like I needed to call in and clear some things up.
Oh, okay. Very good.
My first favorite linebacker is Brian Jones, obviously.
Yeah, it's everybody's. It's not just yours. It's everybody's favorite linebacker.
They're in Pennsylvania. Are you close to linebacker U?
Yeah. I covered Penn State a little bit for a small magazine out of Philly. But
okay,
yeah.
Go ahead. I believe you there.
Well, my point was just I think I was nodding my head all day when Greg was saying things today, like the expectation management or perception management, PR in the NFL is just out of hand. I think that what a lot of people are trying to tell Kaepernick is to knock off the protesting. And I think they have a little bit of a point, because if you can name a second-string quarterback with that much clickbait out there, like Manziel, they don't have a job.
Yeah, Tebow, too, who I never thought was a great quarterback, but probably should have had a job longer than he did in the NFL. I think people didn't like that sideshow either.
Right, and that's I think they're trying to avoid the sideshow, and I just I can't stand expectation management or perception management. I think it kills a lot of talent in this world, and I think that's what Ray was trying to tell Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I wanted to say is, I don't really think God's that involved in this.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Big B. Great call, man.
Yeah,
if he was
worth his salt, right, we wouldn't be dealing with this issue still, right?
Yeah, I just
everyone
don't,
would be treated fairly and yeah, equally.
And that sideshow that these owners and the NFL is so worried about, what exactly is the negative impact on it? Because yeah. I don't want the cameras there. I mean, every time this comes up, whether it's signing, drafting Michael Sam or bringing in Tim Tebow somewhere or this Colin Kaepernick issue, you're not only going to have the sports media there, but you're going to have Inside Edition there and Good Morning America. So what?
Deal with it. You're supposed to be able to handle pressure. You put these guys through this Wonderlic test, and that's supposed to be a barometer of how they can think quickly and handle situations in a limited time frame. So why are you worried about all that?
And is it really going to be a constant thing? I mean, you think Colin Kaepernick every single day is going to be doing something that's newsworthy when he shows up with the Baltimore Ravens, if he shows up with the Baltimore
that's a
Ravens?
Cop out. If the cat can't play, let him go out there and prove that he can't play. That's what they'll be talking about. See, I told you, he stinks. He sucks. Can't do this.
Yeah, I just don't. And I would imagine that, yes, the first day that he shows up, people will be there. More people than usual will be there. But after everybody answers the question of, what do you think about Colin Kaepernick being your teammate? What are you going to ask it the next day and the next day and the next? It's probably 1 or 2 days that you have to deal with that.
And eventually you're going to get to the player and whether or not he can perform. Eventually you got to get there, right? That's what we're here for, to watch a team and prove whether or not Bashadi, the owner, is correct. I'm not so sure he can help us win. Well, let's go out and see.
Michael in Florida next up on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Hey, longtime listener, first-time caller. Love your show.
Thanks, Michael. What do you got for us today?
Hey, I served 25 years in the Air Force, and my opinion is, actually, I go back all the way to San Francisco. If the guy worked for me, he brought it to work. He brought a stance to work, you know. I know Jones doesn't agree with me, but, you know, he said it's more than a privilege to play in the NFL. I think it is a privilege to play. First of all, you got to prove yourself to play. If the guy's good enough, even today I say let him play, but that's up to Steve and Ozzy. But, hey, when he made that stance after serving, you know, I served 25 years in the military. I've known people who died in war. I threw up in my mouth a little bit. You know, I was disgusted.
How was this
with
affront
it.
To the military?
Well, hey, we put our lives on the line every day for that flag, for the right for people to protest.
You put, right, but, exactly.
My personal belief is, because I was raised in a very Christian family, you know, supported the flag, did my years in the
Do
military,
you support human beings?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so what? Take the flag out of your question. If human beings aren't being treated fairly and equally,
how did he help them? Because those people are still in the same situation.
Well,
there's a lot of other ways he could have made a stance.
How? What other ways?
He could have worked in the communities.
He's doing that. He's giving his money.
I mean, is he really?
Yes, he is.
Did this stance really help people?
Do you believe in the stance? Do you believe there's social injustice?
You can take a stance, but you don't have to kneel down and sit down while we're playing the national anthem. And that's just me. Now other people believe.
I understand that's you,
and I respect.
That's a lot of people. Are you as fired up about those who are subjected to social injustice? Are you as fired up about that as you are about someone kneeling?
No, because we've lost the meaning of the whole thing. We're still talking about him. And we should be talking about those people.
We weren't talking about the people until he knelt.
Okay, how much has changed since he's knelt?
Well, we've shown a light on the issue. We're talking about it, are we not? We're hoping that you and others out there who were not privy to this situation will now, if you see something happening, say something. If you're someone in your family, someone in your circle of friends who holds the views that they're better because of their color, their race, their ethnicity, that you will smack them down, not physically, but you will
sometimes
bring some attention.
Need to be smart.
Well, I would agree with that. I work with one.
Hey, wait a second.
No. He's on the other side.
Oh, yeah, Mikey B. Yeah. Oh.
So that's bringing attention to it. Is it not? If he had not kneeled, would we be discussing this? No, we would not. We would not be talking about this on a sports talk show.
But I don't like the way he did it. I think he could have found a different way.
Well, that was the first thing that he did, and he's done many things. And thanks for the call, Michael.
Well, I don't like the way he did it, but they give you no suggestions of how they should go about protests. That's my point.
Well,
we've been making this point for a long time. They told the slaves, we didn't like the way the slaves revolted. Well, how the hell are they supposed to revolt?
Send a letter?
Yeah.
Hey,
please.
Not working out for us.
Master, would you please let me free?
Right. A carefully worded email? Like, is that what you would rather see?
Yeah.
And also, you know, Michael was operating under the premise that because he doesn't believe a lot has changed since Colin Kaepernick has made his stance public, that he should continue to do it or he never should have done it.
Well, that's why you keep fighting.
Well, that's where I'm getting to.
Yeah.
Is the fact that just because you haven't seen or it hasn't changed to your standard or you aren't happy with the progress doesn't mean that you stop or you don't try or you don't try to begin with. I mean, I never understood that, like the defeatist attitude of, well, what did that really do? Well, I mean, first of all, we don't know how it affected every single person.
Right.
First off, might not have affected your life, but you weren't affected by it to begin with.
Did Jackie Robinson change Major League Baseball wholesale initially? No.
Right.
Others came after him. There were a few trickle-down situations, and then boom, everyone's available to play baseball or football or basketball. Those folks fighting for the civil rights back in the 50s and 60s, did they have change immediately? No. Rosa Parks, did she change the bus system immediately? No. Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, did they change it immediately? No.
I mean, we're still dealing with some of those same issues,
right,
but things have gotten better. You don't stop trying because you don't like how quickly things are going.
And here's another deal. You can't say I fought for the right to protest, then get upset when somebody protests.
855-212-4CBS. If you're Steve Bisciotti, do you bring Colin Kaepernick in? We're coming right back.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
There was news on Colin Kaepernick yesterday as the Baltimore Ravens decided to release a statement contrary to a report that was out that there was resistance from owner Steve Bisciotti when John Harbaugh and Ozzie Newsome were on board with signing Kaepernick. Bisciotti was the last one to not be on board, and they released a statement saying Bisciotti has not blocked them and they haven't made a decision yet. But that wasn't really the report. The report wasn't that Bisciotti blocked them. It just said that he was the one providing resistance, and that's why a decision hadn't been made. So it's clear to me what's going on. I just would love for Steve Bisciotti, one way or another, to have the balls to come out and make a decision and stand by it. Now, I'm not going to agree if he doesn't sign Colin Kaepernick, because I know why he wouldn't be signing Colin Kaepernick and would have nothing to do with his ability to play quarterback. But at least have the balls to step up and make a decision and stand by it, as opposed to hiding behind whatever you're hiding behind now and saying in fan forums, pray for us, and putting out statements through your general manager. Come
on. Aliens are coming after us if we sign him. What? Pray for us. Yeah.
Stop. So if you were Steve Bisciotti, what would you do? I'm John Quinones. 855-212-4CBS. James in Myrtle Beach on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, James?
How y'all doing this morning?
Great, James. What's up?
I think if Colin Kaepernick really wants to make a stand, he needs to do it on what the real major problem is, which is black-on-black crime. And also, it's no different growing up this country being black than it is white, because I grew up in D.C. It was just as hard on me growing up in that area as it is where some black people grow up in a more white-populated area, so say.
Summer's heat can cause your battery fluids to evaporate.
Jeez, come on, man. And this is another default position. Well, look at what's going on in Chicago. People don't give a damn about crime in Chicago until they bring up the fact that you have unarmed black people being shot. And here's the difference, James. In one instance, you've got those who are entrusted with protecting and serving the population. In the other area, the black-on-black crime you speak of, and I'm with you, it needs to stop. It's ridiculous. You got guys fighting over turf that they will never own and have never owned. It just makes no sense. And so those folks are just misguided idiots and criminals. So you got that, those folks over there, and then you have those who have taken an oath to protect and to serve the community. So it's apples and oranges. Both are a problem. But I think we can focus on both at the same time. But when you have those who have said, I have given an oath to go out there and serve the community, and yet you have folks who are being killed when they're unarmed, hands up in the air, they're running away from danger, that's a huge problem, and we should point it out.
All right, a couple things. One, you can't have a stance on what Colin Kaepernick's stance is, telling him to protest something else that you deem more important to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is about what's important to him and what he decided to stand up for.
So if he was just calling out black people, that'd be fine.
Yeah, if he did that, then that'd be okay, right? Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I don't. This is what he did, okay? And this is what was important to him, just like there's a lot of things that we could look at in your life, probably, that are important to you, and we would say, you know what, you should probably do this instead.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing that to you. Don't do that to him. And to seriously say that, and it's tough for me to speak from my perspective on this, but to seriously say that there's no difference between growing up black and growing up white in America is as misguided a statement that's ever been uttered on this show. Now, we could spend, and Brian could spend, probably the rest of the week telling you why that is a misguided statement. I don't think I need to go through all the details, but that clearly to me is someone who has never even tried to step in someone else's shoes and will not hear those other experiences and take them seriously.
Listen, there are others that have dealt with hardship and have had to come up through things that you wouldn't wish on other people.
And nobody's debating that.
No one's debating that. But if that's all I had to deal with when I wake up in the morning is the fact that I'm impoverished and I'm trying to find a way out of this situation, this socioeconomic situation I'm mired in. If that's all I had to worry about and not have the added strain of worrying about, well, what the hell is the color of my skin going to afford me today? I'm with you, James. But that's not all I have to worry about. I don't have to just be concerned with whether or not my babies get to school okay, or whether or not everything's going to be all right at work, or that stuff. You know, that'd be cool if that was it. But there's added significance and importance, unfortunately, to having this pigmentation, and that's the big difference right there. Yeah, everyone has issues, they got problems they're dealing with. Some of it is similar no matter where you come from, no matter what color you are. But then there's an added additional problem that people of color have to face.
And no one is saying that it's only black people that deal with discrimination or that other people don't deal with that stuff. I'm just dealing with the statement that he said that there's no difference in growing up black and growing up white in this country.
Right.
I mean, that to me is, I mean, that's why I've been, in full disclosure, I shut my mic off, took my headphones off, and started walking out the door when he said that because I thought Brian was going to jump through the microphone.
I wish that was the case.
Yeah,
that's where we're striving to get to.
Yeah,
that's where we want to be, James. We want to be at that position.
Todd's in Arizona. Next up on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Great, Todd. What's on your mind?
You know, I feel like Colin Kaepernick would be a great signing for the Baltimore Ravens, not just because of his skills, but you think about everything that he's been through the last, last year. We'll just say last year. I feel like Colin has, I wouldn't say dealt with everything. I wouldn't agree with the socks that he wore to practice, but you know, you think about guys like LeBron James and, you know, those other guys who wore the I Can't Breathe shirt, you know, who are staples in the NBA. You know, and I wouldn't say Colin isn't a staple in the NFL, but, hey, you know, he tried to stick out as much as he could for this problem that we have in America. And, you know, I think Baltimore, we saw those riots that we had last year and, you know, everything that was going down in Baltimore. You know, I think Colin Kaepernick would be a great face in the community there, you know, for people to rally around, you know. And I think he would just be a perfect fit there. We yeah. saw all the looting and we saw everything that was going on there. And, you know, I think he would just be the perfect fit there. Not football. Yeah, I mean, football, yeah. He would fill a void, but at the same time, he would fill a void in the community, too, that's desperately needed.
Todd, that's interesting.
Rough city.
That's an interesting thought because we praise a lot of guys because of the work they're doing in their communities. It's the Walter Payton Award. That's all about what you do off the field and humanitarian work that you do. But I guess in this case, it has to be the right kind of humanitarian work. It has to be the right type of community service. It can't be one that you pick and choose and that's near and dear to your heart. It has to be something that we all would agree with, which is just wrong. As long as you're doing something to help others or draw attention to a problem, we should applaud that.
And everybody assumes that Colin Kaepernick going to the Ravens is going to create such a negative reaction and negative outcome, and that's why you wouldn't bring him in. But what if it creates a positive situation and Colin Kaepernick does do all the things that our last caller was suggesting, and he's in the community and he ends up changing some minds and this all of a sudden? I mean, can we just, maybe you think that's unlikely? But can we think like that for once?
No.
And just say, well, maybe that's a
no.
Maybe that's a possibility.
I'm not gonna
that this
it.
Actually works out and it's no. a good thing in the end.
No.
Or it's just gonna be the worst thing in the world.
It should be
Everybody's
barred.
Gonna stop watching the games, everybody's gonna stop going to the games, everybody's gonna hate the Ravens, there's gonna be more violence, he's a jerk, all these things. But I mean, what if he goes in and turns things around? And all of a sudden, the discussion becomes positive because of the things that he's doing.
Well, you know, Todd brings up some points, valid points. You have protests, and yeah, there were those who looted, and you always have that in these factions. Hell, you have fans that loot and turn cars over and burn things during the championship celebration. So you had that faction, but the more of the folks were just protesting and showing some voice to a wrong that they were trying to right.
A lot of calls on this. We'll continue to take them. We do have Will Brinson and Jeff Van Gundy joining us a little bit later. 855-212-4CBS. It's Gio and Jones coming right back. CBS Sports Radio.